Blog Talk Radio.
It is definitely rivalry week here on the Red Cedar Report podcast. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the show on Facebook, or you can always follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. For instance, on Monday, we had former defensive tackle Kyle Rasmussen. He played for the Spartans in the early 2000s. He joined us. He talked about the defensive line play, Malik McDowell specifically, about some of his play. Tuesday, former fullback Trevin Pendleton, who I still think he scored against Michigan last year, he came on. He talked about the lack of leadership and maybe experience that this team has. Today on the show, oh man, this pack is going to be a good one. Former Michigan State offensive lineman Will Whitaker, he's going to join the show, who prior to Jack Conklin getting drafted, he was the most recent offensive lineman snagged up in the NFL draft as the Green Bay Packers took him in 2005. He'll be on in actually just a matter of seconds. Former running back and kick returner DeAndre Cobb, he will be on following that. Right now, we do have Will Whitaker on the phone with us. Hey, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thank you.
All right, so you grew up in Indiana, right? So you were in the Big Ten region. Were you a Spartan fan growing up? And, how much did you know about this rivalry? Let's just dive right into it because I'm excited for this weekend.
Well, I did not grow up as a Spartan fan. I guess being from Indiana, I was more of a probably IU basketball fan and Purdue football at the time because Purdue football was at on top. So it was a little different when, you know, you select the Spartans and then you see the rivalry of Michigan State, Michigan. And, you know, it was truly amazing to become a part of such a great rivalry. It was hard to be in a rivalry where with IU and Purdue looking at their rivalry because even though it's big in basketball, football, you know, speaks itself. I mean, it's always usually one-sided, usually IU never really had people show up to games and things of that nature. So it was actually good to actually see a really good rivalry game and be a part of it.
Yeah, when you got to campus, how quick did it take for you to realize what a big deal the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry was?
Well, obviously, I mean, it was a big deal from day one. I mean, you know, you step on the campus, and it is a beautiful campus, but, you know, it turns from you're not in high school anymore to this is a business. I mean, it is so, and it's a business from day one, and then obviously, you know, you get to rivalry week, and it's one of the biggest things that you have to, you know, have to do. I mean, not only the Michigan State-Michigan game, but I felt like the same way was the way with Michigan State-Notre Dame. You had to, you know, you had to present yourself as a in a different way. You had to prepare differently. You had to mentally and physically because you knew it was going to be a very hard game no matter what.
Yeah, we actually talked to Kyle Rasmussen on Monday about that. He said some games have a different atmosphere around them. Obviously, this one's one of them. He said that he could just remember that this was one game he never got tired during the course of it just because of the adrenaline. How does a game like this differ from the others on the schedule?
Well, and that, I mean, it's the bragging rights for the state. You know, I gotta say sorry to Western, Central, and Eastern, but I mean, Michigan State's the bragging rights for the state. Who's going to say that they have the best team in the state? You know, my biggest thing was coming up there and knowing, you know, just looking at the history. You look at Michigan's history, which they, you know, they still continuously hold on to, which was all history. But most of the time, I mean, you know, 90% of the people like Michigan just because, oh, it's Michigan. But when you look at it, it's like, okay, did you have an opportunity to go to Michigan and things like that? And it's just, it blows my mind how many people that you look at and they just like Michigan because they look at, well, they rather look at the history of what they've done in the past. Well, that's what that really irks you, because it's like, yo, I'm here. I'm the one that works my butt off, and I'm playing at Michigan State, and I've had opportunities to go to other schools too. You know, I had opportunity to go to Michigan. I had opportunity to go to Notre Dame and stuff like that, but I chose Michigan State because I liked it better. It was the best school, I think, at the time for me.
Yeah, and you were on the winning side in 2001. Obviously, that was one of the greatest games in the history of the rivalry. Some on the Michigan State side would probably say the greatest, at the very least, up until last season. And then on 2002, not the prettiest of games, 49-3 U of M won that one. When you look at how last year, how 2015 ended, you can kind of sync that up with 2001, and you look at the direction of where things are headed this year, it's kind of setting up like 2002. Michigan is a heavy favorite. I think the line started at 18. It's up to 24.5 right now. Can this be a team that surprises people this weekend? Because I know you still watch the games. So can this be a team that upsets U of M this weekend?
Well, it just all depends. I mean, you know, watching what I've seen so far in Michigan State football, this is not an ordinary Mark D'Antonio team. This is one of the days of when we were going through all the issues, like a 2003 team and stuff like that. So it all depends on who comes up to play, who goes out there and wants to play smash mouth from the beginning. I mean, that's the biggest problem, is I don't know what the identity of this team is right now. You know, whether you look at it from the player standpoint or the coaching standpoint, it's just, you know, you never know what you're going to get when you get out there. You know, I have a great respect for Coach D'Antonio because he was a defensive back coach my freshman year at Michigan State, and I think he's done great by the program. Now, I just don't know what's going on with this year, the program, and how we go from, you know, being in the college playoff last year to a team that's 2-5 searching for an identity. You know, I mean, obviously it was great to beat Notre Dame, but to lose 5 straight after that, and it's like, you know, it's hard to watch. I mean, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. You just never know what you're going to get week to week, and it's just gotten to that point. It's like, okay, who's going to stand up and be a leader? Who's going to, you know, or who's going to get all 11 guys on each side of the ball and then in special teams to rally behind that leader and go out there and do the right things and to beat Michigan? Because this Michigan team is good. They are really good, and we shouldn't. And, you know, it's hard to look and say, okay, they have a shot at beating us this year because we're not playing our best ball as a team, and that instead of them actually going out there and beating us as what they're, you know, going out there and beating us because they were a little bit better. It's just, I don't know what the potential is of this team yet because we haven't seen it. We saw a great game out of Notre Dame, but ever since then it's like, okay, so where's that team at? So it's just hard to say what's going to happen tomorrow or happen on Saturday. But, I mean, do we have a shot? Yes. Every team has a shot. Every given week there's a shot to win, you know. They put on their pants and their shoulder pads and their cleats the same way as Michigan State players do. Now, it's up to them. Who's going to have more heart in this game? Because if you don't have the heart to succeed, you're not going to win.
I think another way to another reason you may not be able to win is the play of the line. I think that's obviously been the key. When you look at the history of this rivalry, two teams that typically run the ball, pride themselves on the rush defense more than anything else, I would think. And I mean, that's your bread and butter. That's where you played. I think that Michigan State, they have talented players along the line. Despite losing two of them All-Americans, this line was still supposed to be one of the better ones in college football this season. What's been the issue for that group specifically?
Well, I think we need to clear, try to, you know, go, I mean, I will say one of the things I have been watching is I feel as if the play calling is, and I just feel like the play calling is too, like, it's not been that good. I think we're too, we know, I mean, I think that basically, you know, watching them play, I mean, it's like going back to Don Treadwell days. And I love Coach Treadwell. He was one of my coaches,
right,
too. But as an offensive coordinator, you know, he was very predictable. And it's the same thing that I'm seeing right now with the offensive line call or with the play calling as well, with a lot of power plays. For what reason? And why are we not doing – why are we just running just power? Why are we not running any zone blocking, things of that nature for people to help others to succeed? And that's what I really feel as if that could be the case as well. Now, as far as the other player, them playing every day, I mean, it goes back to that old saying, you got to go out there and want to beat the guy across from you. And I just haven't seen that out of this group this year. And, even, I mean, you know, we lost Jack Coughlin and also, although I can't remember the center's name, but, you know, those
Jack
two
Allen
were
and great. Donovan Clark,
yeah,
were all three.
Yep. Yeah, and we lost three guys that were really good, but that means they're still, you know, if you've been on campus after a while, you got to see what they've done, and then you got to mimic it and go out there and want to be the best, you know. And I just haven't seen that out of these guys.
Yeah, I would make a point of contention that playing on the offensive line, it's really important for the O-line to gel, almost as important as quarterback and wide receiver, if not more so. Is it maybe the youth thing, and are they starting to come together after what you've seen against Maryland, or was maybe that just a product of the fact Maryland's front seven hasn't been the greatest this season?
Well, it could be the youth. It could be youth, but I mean, we're now in game seven. I don't care if you're a freshman, you're a sophomore, you're junior or senior. We're going into game eight of the year. By this time, you're no longer a freshman. You're no longer a sophomore. You're no longer a junior. You're no longer a senior. It should be they should have been jailed by now. And if you have to make changes, you have to make changes to put you in the best way to win. I mean, as simple as that is, we shouldn't be losing to these teams that are not better than us because of play up front. We shouldn't be.
Hey, well, we know we gotta let you get going here soon, but first, I want a prediction from you this weekend, man.
Well, it just depends on if the Spartans, if they could come out and show out. I still, even with Michigan being ranked as high as they are, I still think they have some flaws that can be exposed. I don't think their quarterback's all that good. I think their defensive backfield, though, is amazing. But I still, I mean, if we show up to play, Michigan State wins the game. But if we don't, hey, Michigan will blow us out. And that's the last thing I want to see, because that's especially in a rivalry like this. I want to see a great game, and I do want to see the Spartans come on top. But you never just know. You know, after the last 5 weeks, it's kind of hard to say what you're going to get out there and if they will go out there and play hard to win.
All right. Hey, Will, thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Again, that was former Michigan State offensive lineman William Whitaker on the phone with us. One of the better offensive linemen that Michigan State had in recent memory. And we are going to jump right to it on the line right now. One of the more electrifying kick returners Michigan State's ever had. During second school history, yards per return for players with eight or more returns, the first in touchdowns off of kick returns. He actually became a household name in this state during a game against U of M. DeAndre Cobb with us now. Hey, DeAndre, thanks for coming on the show today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So you're from Vegas, correct? The Vegas area?
Say it again. I didn't hear you.
What did you know about this rivalry before you even got on campus?
Very little, to be honest. It's funny because my uncle was a big Woodson fan, and he didn't understand that he sent me off to Michigan State instead of Michigan, and he sent me off with a Woodson jersey. And me knowing very little about the rivalry, I almost wore that jersey. And to this day, he asked me where that jersey is, and I never really told him that I had to burn it.
You were burning it before people in Ohio were burning LeBron James jerseys and made it look cool, right?
Yes, because within that first week of being down in Michigan State, I adapted that hate for those guys down there. It was just something that was instilled in us from day one. It's just something that overcomes you once you put on that green and white and you bleed and work hard with those guys, and you just don't have no respect for the boys down the street.
Yeah, you played for John L. Smith. I think he took a different approach to this game than Mark D'Antonio, who obviously puts a little extra emphasis in the public eye. John L. said they all count as one, and he brought that mentality to the media. But how did he go about, like, the course of the week leading up to that game? Was practice a little bit different? Was there a little more intensity? How did he treat that game in practice?
Believe it or not, we prepared for that game all work off season. Everything was about beating them guys down the road. So he didn't really have to say nothing that week that we was preparing for Michigan, because everyone down there knew what type of week this was and who we was playing. So we just, amongst ourselves, amongst the players, we took it serious. He didn't really have to coach or say really nothing, because our intensity was already high.
Yeah, DeAndre Cobb is with us. Played a little bit in the NFL as a kick returner for the Atlanta Falcons. In 2004, you became a household name, thanks in part to that game. You had over 200 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, but 136 of those yards came on two that you kind of broke out. Unfortunately, you ended up losing that game. What did that game do for you guys, though, as a team? Because Michigan was kind of expected to walk away with it, and it was closer than expected. And what did it do for you individually?
We kind of knew that we can compete with those guys. It was just a rocky year. I had a few injuries that was key into our lack of success that season. I think we had a pretty good team, and they came into that game and kind of with their feet up, thinking it was going to be, like you said, a walk-away game, when we knew it wasn't going to be, because we knew we had to put our best foot forward. We had Drew Stanton back healthy. We was ready to go. So once the lights was on, I think it was my second carry that I had the breakaway. And I remember after my first one, a running back coach, he looked at me in my eyes, he said, you should be down the field right now. And then next time when he sent me in the game, he said, this one better go the distance. And there you have it. They just had a lot of confidence in us and knew we was ready to win that game. We just, you know, got a little excited at the end and started making mistakes we shouldn't have made.
Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of talked about it right there, is that Michigan kind of had this mentality that it was going to be a walk-away game. You played 2003 and 2004 against both of those games, closer than expected.
Right.
How did those 2003 and 2004 teams, like, approach those games? You said that the intensity was always there, but what I'm likening it to is how this year's team can keep it close, because people have the same idea that Michigan's just going to run all over Michigan State this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping they do, actually, because I just know our boys is licking their chops. They're ready. They know Michigan got their feet up. They probably able to tell them that they've been down, and there's just a hiccup that they have had in their university and their organization. So I hope they actually come into that game overlooking Michigan State, because I know those boys is getting ready. I know those boys, this is a game on the schedule that you look at every year, and you know you got to be ready for that game.
Yeah, I talked to Will Whitaker kind of about the offensive line, because obviously that was his bread and butter. Yours was on special teams. I think, like I said, you excelled as a running back, but you, I thought, were electrifying as a special teams player. Only played 2 years, hold the, have more kick return touchdowns than anybody else in school history. Michigan State, they've had their fair share of issues on special teams, whether it be breaking returns. I don't think anyone's returned Keyshawn Martin, I think you could say, returned punts pretty well. But the punt coverage, the kickoff coverage, what are some of the issues specifically that you've seen with MSU's special teams that have kind of, you could say, been a big factor into a reason why they are 2-5 this season?
Special teams-wise, it's just getting a bunch of guys that want to actually be out there. I can remember telling our special team coaches, I'd rather take the 10 guys blocking for me that want to be out here than our best athletes, because you get somebody that want to be out there, they're going to give you 100%, and that's what makes it successful. A lot of big-time players are, you know, that's on offense or defense, they don't like special teams as much because they don't want to sacrifice their body and their opportunities at, you know, their main position. But you got to realize that special teams win games. Special teams actually turn the mojo of a game around. It gives guys something to look at. And I felt great giving us that spark, especially when we got the ball the first time. I wanted to give the entire team something to be, you know, riled up for. And you just got to take special teams serious, because special teams is not just a rest period for your star players.
It's not just that third phase.
It's actually an opportunity to get points on the board or you know, turn the game around. That's why last year I wouldn't take that victory any other way than where it happened. It was the sweetest victory I ever seen Michigan State get from them boys. Because, you know, they just was excited. They just knew they had the game. They just knew how it brought the university back to its culture. And just to rip it away from them in special teams at the last seconds of the game is the sweetest thing that can ever happen.
Yeah, and I mean, Michigan State did end up winning that game on special teams. But, leading up to that game, or leading up to that play, rather, Jabril Peppers, he broke a lot of returns. He got Michigan in great field position. Ultimately, you could say Michigan was going to win that game because of special teams. If you look at it, Michigan State outgained them by 156 yards, but they were often pinned deep in their own territory where Michigan was starting around the 50 almost. How do you approach a guy like Jabril Peppers? Because I've seen a lot of teams try to kick it out of bounds to avoid him, and they end up shanking it, and it ends up being a 20-yard punt. They only put the field about 20 yards. How do you avoid a guy who, I mean, as dangerous as you?
Actually, just show him you're not really afraid of him. I know when we played in the Alamo Bowl game against Nebraska, they kicked that ball directly to me, and I think they did it on purpose, and because they had a bunch of guys that said, "Hey, coach, we're not afraid of this guy." And it was about 6-7 people that was lunging at me at once almost every time I returned a kick. Get your guys riled up and actually believing in themselves and stopping a certain returner, and I believe you can do it. One of the easiest way to, you know, stop a good return is to put fear in them that you're really trying to, you know, lay your pass to them.
All right, man. Hey, we know that we got to let you go. Thanks for coming on. But before we do that, I want a prediction out of you. I've been getting predictions out of everybody else, and they all seem pretty confident in Michigan State. You feel the same way?
Oh, yeah, Upset City this week. I'm looking forward to Upset. My good friend, that went to play basketball for Michigan. We went to the same high school. He's been on Facebook all week talking. And all I have to say is Upset City. Upset City. We for the upset. We can't predict the score, but we're gonna pull this one off.
All right. Hey, DeAndre, thanks for coming on. I know it's early out there on the West Coast, man. We really appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, that was DeAndre Cobb. He was preceded by William Whitaker. You can follow Red Suit Report on Twitter. You can listen to our past shows, or you can always follow us on Facebook. Again, Kyle Rasmussen was on Monday. On Tuesday, we had Trevin Pendleton. Today, Pat Show, William Whitaker, and DeAndre Cobb both gave us excellent insight into their areas of expertise, if you will. William Whitaker broke down some of the offensive line struggles. DeAndre Cobb with the special teams. But be sure to check us out tomorrow. We have a Rose Bowl and Cotton Bowl champion, Tyler Toplinski. He's going to join us on the Red Suit Report again. Thanks to William Whitaker and DeAndre Cobb for coming on. I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Suit Report.